Hello and welcome to The Laydown, a podcast in which three booksellers from Gibson's Bookstore in Concord, New Hampshire chat about all things literary.
My name is Ryan.
I'm Hillary.
And I'm Kelso.
Okay, let's get into it. So let's talk about things that we're currently reading, books that we have read since we last recorded, advanced reader copies we're excited about. What do we got? Kelso, let's start with you.
The first one I'm going to finish up tonight is called Go Ahead in the Rain, Notes to a Tribe Called Quest by Hanif Abdurraqib. And the reason why I picked up this book originally was because I read a book of his poetry a few years ago, and I thought he was an absolutely fantastic writer. I've never heard any of A Tribe Called Quest, and I don't really listen to a lot of rap music. I wanted to read a book that I would have no idea what it was about and try to learn more about the culture. So I started reading it, and it's fantastic because he goes through his feelings about the group, and he also goes into what it was like growing up in almost an all-white neighborhood and what it was like to kind of grow up poor. And it was fantastic. I loved it. It's really well written. I had somebody ask me about true crime the other day. So I'm currently reading two true crime books. One is called The Stranger Beside Me, which is about the serial killer Ted Bundy. That is the Anne Rule book. It is a classic true crime book that a lot of true crime fanatics have read, and if they have not, they really should. Anne Rule used to know Ted Bundy. They used to work at a crisis telephone hotline, like a suicide hotline.
Oh, God.
And so he used to volunteer his time there, and they became friends that way. So she was fascinated by him and just wrote this entire book, and it was a bestseller for a really long time. There's a movie, a biopic, that is coming out with Zac Efron.
And Netflix has their doc.
And so there's just this bump of all of this Ted Bundy stuff, and so I'm reading this book, and I love it. I've always loved this book. And it's a classic of the genre.
Yeah.
The other one that I'm reading is Mindhunter by John Douglas.
Also a Netflix.
Which I didn't know until like last month, and I found it. I was like, oh my God, it's like the book.
It's so good.
It is about John Douglas, who worked for the FBI in their
profiling.
Yes. So he would go and talk with serial killers. I've loved this book. So those are two true crime books that I would highly recommend that I'm currently reading.
Okay. First, I am listening on Libre FM to Becoming by Michelle Obama, which is really, really good. She's a good writer, and she reads the audiobook herself, which is kind of... It's always fun listening to an audiobook when you know the voice of the author so well, and you're just like, oh, hey. It's like hanging out with a friend.
Yeah.
And then I've been reading an advanced reader copy of The Starless Sea by Erin Morgenstern. She wrote The Night Circus 7 years ago, and this is her second book. I've been waiting so long. It's not a sequel. It's a standalone. It's basically a love story of stories. It's fairy tales and mythology and an underground secret library. And it opens with, like, the main character. He finds a book in his college library, which is in Vermont, by the way, and he reads a story about his childhood self. And he's like, that's me. How am I in this book? What is going on? And it leads him on this adventure to try to figure out how this moment from his life ended up in this book. Every single word is curated and chosen so perfectly. There's no excess. There's no accidental words. There's no fluff. It's all so perfect. You could literally open this book to any page and read a sentence and be like, oh, that's a good sentence. The whole book is like that. The Night Circus was the same way. And I was really excited. Michael, the owner of Gibson's, brought this back from the Winter Institute for me, personalized by Erin Morgenstern. It's a book conference for independent booksellers. And Erin Morgenstern did an onstage chat with Margaret Atwood. And Michael met Erin afterwards, and he texted me a selfie of the two of them. And the reason he teased me with the photos and got me this signed book is because my wedding was Night Circus themed. So the Night Circus has played an important role in my life, and now I'm very, very excited to have The Starless Sea.
When does it come out?
This November, November 5th. I'm almost done with it, and I'm doing that thing where I read a chapter and then I put it down because I don't want to read it too quickly. I want to absorb every single word. So that I'm currently reading that. I'm very excited for that. I've also read a ton of stuff since we last recorded, which I'm sure you guys have as well. I listened to The Fandom by Anna Day. The main characters find themselves in the world of their favorite story. It's interesting. It's a really scary place that they end up in, and to see like the decisions that they make and how they change or stick to the original story and how that affects their journey is really interesting. So I listened to that. I read an arc of The Last by Hannah Jameson. And that's about the apocalypse. And a group of people, there's like 8 of them, are in a hotel when it happens. And so they're these survivors living in a hotel. And it's just sort of like what happens to them. And one of the characters is trying to solve a mystery at the hotel because they find a body, but everyone's like, but it's the end of the world, it doesn't matter. And he's like, I don't know, it matters to me. It reminded me a lot of
Ben Winters
book. Of The Last Policeman, where it's like, yeah, the world is ending, who cares about this murdered person? And he's like, I do. I have humanity left in me. Hillary, what have you been up to?
Well, let's see. Last time we talked, I said I was reading The Ark of Black Leopard, Red Wolf. It has since come out. Marlon James has this amazing ability to inhabit his characters and to use dialect and dialogue. He's always invested in some period and group of people that are not your standard American kind of people. This one, Black Leopard, Red Wolf, is very based in African mythology. So he did a ton of research for this book. And he spent a lot of time working on the narrator. He tried out more than one narrator before he settled on the one he did, who's called Tracker. But the voice of this narrator is very imbued with the cadences of an African language. And there's actually a lot of African language in the book. And it also takes place during a period in African history where slavery was happening. So you must invest yourself in this book.
Definitely.
You have to sit down and focus. It is a true literary difficult, but really good book. A much easier book to read, but also one that is in a very difficult landscape and with some real tragedy and violence is Jane Harper's The Lost Man. Jane Harper is an Australian writer. This is her third novel. Her first was The Dry, which also did very well.
Mm-hmm.
Both The Dry and The Lost Man take place in the outback of Australia, in places that are really being riven by global warming, right? So they were already just desperately difficult places to exist.
Yeah.
And it's getting even worse now. And this story, the very beginning of it, there's a man who's dead. He is found out in the desert, basically, near a gravestone where he's tried to seek shade. And within, I mean, maybe 12 hours, it could have been as little as 12 hours, he dies because it's 120 degrees out and he doesn't have water.
Oh, man.
And his two brothers, one of whom has lived with him and one of whom is estranged from him, meet to take this body away and to wait for the police. And they're so far from the police, it takes hours for the police to get there. And so the mystery is, how did this man die?
Yeah.
And you begin finding out these really difficult family dynamics and about what happens to people when they're in a very, where nature is so challenging and you're so far from civilization, how families can just turn toxic.
Yeah.
Really well written. and a good mystery. You won't necessarily see the answer coming. Really well written.
That's so interesting. That makes me think of that book Dry by Neil Schusterman.
Yes.
Which is a YA book, and it's set in California, and all the reserves dry up, and there's no water, and the rest of the country doesn't notice, because at the same time that California runs out of water, there's a hurricane that hits somewhere else. And so all of FEMA, all of everyone's attention is on this hurricane. And meanwhile, like, California, no one can turn the tap water on. And people start fighting because they all go to the grocery store and they get all the bottled water. So there's no bottled water left. And it's a really interesting book. It's a really scary book because it's almost apocalyptic, even though it's only set in this one area. It's the type of book where you have to have a water bottle with you when you read it, because his writing is so good, and he wrote it with, I think it's his brother.
Yeah.
Their writing is so good. So that's what that made me think of.
Very, very much like that.
Yeah.
Then I just want to talk briefly about the last book.
Oh, boy.
Dreyer's English, An Utterly Correct Guide to Clarity and Style by Benjamin Dreyer, who is the coffee chief of Random House. And Benjamin Dreyer, you are probably not listening to this podcast, but I want to know if you were punking us. I love books about grammar. And the beginning of the book is the life-changing magic of tidying up your prose. And he begins with, here's your first challenge. Go a week without writing very, rather, really, quite, in fact. And you can toss in, or that is toss out, just. Not in the sense of righteous, but in the sense of merely. So then you turn the page, and you go a couple of paragraphs, and you get to clarification number one. And he says, well, okay, go ahead and write them. I don't want you tripping over your own pencil every time you compose a sentence. But having written them, go back and dispose of them, every single one. No, don't leave that last one intact just because it looks cute and helpless. Benjamin Dreyer, you just used the word just.
In a merely sense.
In the merely sense. Are you punking us? That was on page two paragraphs after you said do not use that word. And frankly, I don't know if I want to finish reading your book now. Actually, I will say, otherwise, I really do like this book, but it is just typical of books like this where you'll find these pieces of advice and then say, you know, seriously.
I give myself very good advice, but I very seldom follow it, said Alice.
So that's what I've been reading.
Since Read Across America is coming up.
Yeah, March 2nd.
March 2nd.
Which is Dr. Seuss's birthday.
We are going to have a display over in the kids section about books that changed our life. And so we thought maybe we could have a discussion about some children's books or some books that we read when we were kids that changed our lives. And if you want to come and put a book on our display, we have these very fancy cards that you can fill out with the title and author and how the book changed your life. And we will put them on display in the kids section. So I've got a lot, actually. So it's really funny because I remembered one book in particular growing up. When I was about 10, 11, I read this. It's Stargirl by Jerry Spinelli. And I was going to talk about this book because I really liked this book, and I feel like it changed the way I thought about the world, and it changed the way that I thought about myself growing up as a kid. Very nonconformist literature. But Sam, who is another bookseller here, has already written it up as her favorite book that changed her life. So, with that being said, I'm going to quickly read what she wrote about the book so we can, you know, give... So it's not just the three of us giving
shout-outs.
We can
give Sam some credit.
We can give Sam lots of credit. So, Sam wrote, Stargirl is a book that has many universal themes found in children's books. Be true to your authentic self, kindness will prevail, and true friendship will not care how popular you are. However, what sets Stargirl apart is the protagonist makes all the wrong decisions, letting high school popularity come between his and Stargirl's friendship. His regret and one of the first not-so-happy endings left a poignant impression with me long after finishing the book. And I totally agree with Sam. It is a book about nonconformity and celebrating your differences and not having popularity contests in high school shape the way you are as a person. But I remember reading this when I was in fifth grade, and it really kind of impressed upon me that it was really okay to be different. Three of the books that really stood out to me were anything by Maurice Sendak I was really into as a kid. I just remember being a kid and my mom would read these books to me and she would do the voices and it was just, I'm going to start crying because it was just so great. The other one that I wanted to pick out was The Paper Bag Princess by Robert Munsch, which is a story about a princess who falls in love with a prince and a dragon steals the prince and takes him off, but like burns all of her clothes off, and she needs to find a paper bag, and she goes to rescue the prince. And at the end of the story, the prince does not like her because her hair is all tangled and messy, and she's wearing a paper bag dress, and she basically tells him to beat feet, and she lived by herself happily ever after. And I love that
awesome.
Story.
That's so
and the illustrations are great. The last one that I have is The Runaway Bunny by Margaret Wise Brown, who also wrote Goodnight Moon. It's about a mother bunny and a baby bunny. The baby bunny wants to run away from his mother, but his mother always finds ways to try to catch up and keep him safe. And I remember reading this book with my mom, and it was one of my mom's favorite books to read to me. It shows you how unconditional love is, especially to a mother and her child.
Cool. Those are some really good ones.
Thank you.
I went slightly older with mine because I was always reading as a kid, so I don't remember one like picture book changing my life the first time. And I don't actually remember the order in which I read these, but I have three books that I just remember like really sticking with me. So one of them is Matilda by Roald Dahl.
Mm-hmm.
That was probably the first time or one of the first times I remember identifying with a character as opposed to just hearing the story and enjoying the story. It was the first time I sort of put myself into the character's shoes and imagined myself as the character in real life, because here was this like little girl who loves to read and she's very smart, and I was like, I love to read, I'm very smart. And when the movie came out with Mara Wilson, I was the perfect age. I was the same age as Mara Wilson, and I looked just like her when I was a kid, so I was like, it's me. And I used to sit in my room and try to make books fly off my shelves.
I think
all kids who read Matilda tried to
I remember doing things. That as a kid too.
Another book that really stuck with me is this book called Amy's Eyes. It's by this author, Richard Kennedy. It's not in print anymore, unfortunately. And I think my Aunt Amy gave me this book. And the copy that I have is held together with packing tape. I have read this book so many times that the pages just flutter out of it now. It's a really sweet story, and it's about a little girl. And she's in an orphanage where they're pretty terrible to her. And she has this doll that's this captain doll. And he's got his, like, brass buttons on his little coat. And he's very sweet. And she loves him so much. And she brings him everywhere and is just always talking to her captain. And she's just so connected with her captain doll that one day he comes to life. And he goes off on an adventure, and her heartbreak of him being like, I'm going to leave and go on this adventure, she turns into a doll. And so it's this adventure of the captain. He's got to save Amy. There's a whole thing with her button eyes and
oh my
and
gosh, what they, an amazing book.
And the ship that he goes on this adventure is crewed by these other stuffed animals that he has learned how to bring to life. It's this amazing story. It's this amazing sort of like fairy tale adventure story of the love between a child and their dolls, mm-hmm. or a child and their stuffed animals. And as someone who, like, my stuffed animals were my best friends, mm-hmm. and my dolls were my best friends, like, this was such a cool story to have. And, I loved this book so hard. I still love this book. I read it again a couple of years ago, and it holds up. It's really good. But so that was one that I just loved so hard. And the last book that I'm going to talk about is Harry Potter. Potter changed my life. Harry Potter was... I mean, I think Harry Potter changed a lot of lives. Mm-hmm. I really do think it inspired an entire generation of kids to love reading. It was probably the first book I ever became obsessed with. Mm-hmm. I think what I loved so much about it, even more than the story itself, because I'd read fantasies, I think what I loved was that all of a sudden I could have conversations with any one of my peers, regardless of whether or not we'd been friends before. We could talk about Harry Potter. Everyone could talk about Harry Potter. Everyone mm-hmm. was reading Harry Potter the day it came out. It was this unifying thing that surpassed sort of, you know, so I was in middle school when they started coming out. No, I was in elementary school, but I was in middle school when they were really popular, because the movies started coming out when I was in sixth grade. So between elementary school and middle school, it sort of surpassed the typical hierarchy of middle school, where, like, mm-hmm. the popular kids were reading Harry Potter, and, like, the kids who weren't popular were also reading Harry Potter. And so you'd have someone would start talking about something in one of the books, and you'd have kids from different friend groups and different sort of, like, cliques would be like, oh, yeah, no, I loved when that happened. I totally didn't see that coming with whatever, you know. It was so cool to feel like you were part of this zeitgeist, part of this shift where it just transcended everything. Kids who didn't like to read Harry Potter. Mm-hmm. It was just so important, I think, to my sort of coming of age mm-hmm. to have that.
You know, that book, I'm old enough to be your mom. I mm-hmm. did that with my kids. Mm-hmm. And those books were books that parents and children could really enjoy together. And as a parent, one of the things I loved about those books is that they dealt with really important, difficult, ethical, and moral issues that kids don't bump up against that often.
I remember sitting on my bed reading one of the last books, and I got to a certain page, and a certain character dies. And I turned the page to keep reading. My brain hadn't processed what I had just read. And I got a couple paragraphs down and realized, wait, that actually happened. Went back, read the death again, and burst into tears. And I sobbed uncontrollably for about 10 minutes before I took a breath and said out loud to myself, it's a fictional character, you're gonna be okay. And then I was able to finish the book. But it rocked me to my core. And I don't remember another book having that effect where I felt so connected to a fictional character that I would have that kind of reaction.
When Michael actually talked to me about this and said, you know, were there books that changed your life, I just almost started crying. I was like, yes, because when I was little, I had an alcoholic father. Mm-hmm. And right around the time I became cognizant of mm-hmm. this mm-hmm. and the harm it was doing to my family was also when I was really becoming a reader. So I'm 5, 6, 7. And I began having terrible anxiety, which caused me to be an insomniac as a really little kid. I mean, mm-hmm. I could not sleep. and everybody else would be sound asleep, and I can remember being up kind of roaming the house, because when I went to sleep, I'd have nightmares.
Mm.
And so what really saved my life was books. And that is the only way I could go to sleep. And if I woke up from a nightmare, the book would be right there. I'd sleep with my light on, with the book right there, so that I always had my companions.
Mm-hmm.
And there were two books that were, or two series of books that were the ones that I really started with. First was Winnie the Pooh.
Mm.
All the various versions of Winnie the Pooh, and I still have, I can see it right now, and I didn't bring it in, but I have this at home. I had written in red crayon on the Winnie the Pooh book, Hillary, you know, and it's like you can barely read the writing because it was right when I first learned how to write. And the second one, a series, was the Mary Poppins books. And what I came to realize as I got older is because I was so deeply imbued in these books, and they really were my friends, I really feel like my whole moral interior scape comes out of Winnie the Pooh and Mary Poppins.
Mm.
And they're sort of two different sides of the same coin. The Winnie the Pooh books are all about being kind to your friends and understanding what your friends need. And also, you can be a doofus and your friends will help you. So you can get your head stuck in a honey jar and someone will come along and pull you out of it. And there are characters in Winnie the Pooh that represent all sorts of different aspects of what life is like. Like we have Eeyore, mm-hmm. who's like hopelessly depressed. Let's mm-hmm. face it. That yeah. is like a, you know, seriously depressed person. There's Piglet, who is tiny and fragile and needs taking care of.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mary Poppins by P.L. Travers. P.L. Travers is really worth reading about. You know, we know of Mary Poppins. We think of the Disney movie, you know, the musical version of it. These books are so much darker and frightening in certain ways than that movie. They're really fascinating. And P.L. Travers herself was quite a woman. She was a force of nature. And she did a lot of studying about Eastern spiritualities and different mythologies. And the character of Mary Poppins is actually based on the goddess Kali, who's the goddess of life and death and who creates universes and destroys universes.
Hmm.
And if you read the books, there will be these places where various creatures will interact with Mary Poppins and the little children she's taking care of, and they'll say to the children, "Aren't you terrified of her?" And they're like, "No, she's our nanny." And they're like, "Oh no, she is not." And they're all about the power of a woman, you know?
Hmm.
This woman who can be gentle and kind, who puts up with nothing, but who also has these powers that you have no idea she has until you see her doing things like helping hang stars in the sky or going to the zoo at night and having a huge dance with the animals, rescuing the children who fall into the broken china plate.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, she, and they're also beautifully written. So they were a lot of fun to read. But there's one story I want to tell about P.L. Travers that was told to me by a teacher that I had in college. I went to Smith College, which was an all-women's school, and it never had a female president until I was there. Jill Kerr Conway became the president, and Jill Kerr Conway was a wonderful memoirist. She died maybe a year ago or 2 years ago. But she was the first female president, and this was 1976.
Wow.
So it had been around for 100-something years at that point. So when President Nielsen was there, P.L. Travers came as a guest to the school. And they were having a dinner for her. And President Nielsen stood up and said, "I just want to thank Mrs. Travers for taking her considerable talents as a writer and using them to write children's books." And P.L. Travers stood up and said, "President Nielsen, there's good literature and there's bad literature, and I write the former."
Atta girl.
So, yeah, I would encourage people to read the Mary Poppins books to their kids. They are, in fact, great literature, I think. And also, I just think it's important to have books that are friends, for your kids to have books that are friends.
Mm-hmm. All right. Cool. So we do have some cool events coming up. We have Grammy Award-winning children's performer Dan Zanes will be here on Saturday, March 2nd, which will be really fun. He'll be singing and performing. And we have a new book launch with national best-selling local author Diane Lebeck. That is Tuesday, March 12th. And you can see all of our upcoming events are on our website, GibsonsBookstore.com.
Book club.
Yes.
What are we reading
next?
Two
book clubs, actually.
Yeah, yes. So the first book club is the first Monday. Let's see, what does this say here? March 4th. We'll be at 5:30 here at Gibson's, be reading Candace Millard's book, Destiny of the Republic, A Tale of Madness, Medicine, and the Murder of a President, which is about the assassination of James Garfield. Read it and come to our book club. And then the following Monday is our the Open Discussion Project, which is a project that's being done by several bookstores across the nation. And what it is reading a book that will start a discussion, a political discussion, basically. We're encouraging people from all parts of the political spectrum to read these books and come together to talk and find maybe some common ground or just to hear one another. And they're moderated by people who are professional moderators. Mm-hmm. So there's no screaming and yelling. There's just a good, solid discussion. Mm-hmm. Now, the book that we're going to be doing is called Melting Pot or Civil War, A Son of Immigrants Makes the Case Against Open Borders by Raihan Salam. Raihan Salam is executive editor of National Review. You know, he's arguing to keep the borders closed, and National Review is pretty conservative journal. So you know where he's coming from. Given the wall issue, mm-hmm. I think it's an important discussion for people to have.
All right. You can email us about this podcast at gibsonsemployees@gmail.com. That's GibsonsEmployees@gmail.com. Our website is GibsonsBookstore.com. We're also on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Those links will be in the show notes along with all of the books we talked about today. Thank you all so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll know when we upload our next episode, and consider leaving us a nice review. Until next time, we'll see you in the stacks. Bye!
Bye.